Well, a very warm welcome to everyone, and a special welcome if you're visiting or joining us for the first time this morning. For a moment, I want you to imagine a world without any physical light. Of course, it would be a dark place, but it would also be a place without life. And our world could be that way. But Genesis 1 verse 3 tells us that there is physical light because God created it when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And as we read in verse 4, God saw that the light was good, and God separated light from the darkness. And then Genesis 8 verse 22 says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day shall not cease." And so by God's grace, God created physical light in this world. Besides providing energy for all living things to grow and thrive, without light, we would not have sight. Without life, we wouldn't have sight either. But for this morning, without light, we would not have sight. I'm sure you can think of a time in life when you very much needed a light, but you didn't have one. Or perhaps you can think of a time when you did have a light and you were so very glad that you did. One of the things I've enjoyed doing in life is spear diving. Many would know that my preference would be surfing, certainly in the more tropical areas of the world. Guernsey is a little cold for me to really enjoy surfing here. But if there were no waves, I would enjoy spear diving. And if anyone's been spear diving, it can be a wonderful experience, especially in tropical waters where there's all kinds of fish. And as you get into something like spear diving, you tend to learn where the fish will most likely be. And there was a time in Hawaii that I went to a place ready to do some spear diving, and I got in the water, and I was sure that there would be fish around, but I didn't see a single fish. This was rather disappointing to me. But what I did find is, as I dived to the bottom of the cliff face, I found that there was a great big cave, and yet the cave was dark and I couldn't see into it. And so what I decided to do was to get an underwater flashlight. You do get such things for spear diving. And so I got an underwater flashlight and I went back to that spot. Again, there were no fish. And I dived down to that cave and turned the light on. And there was a whole school of very large, delicious looking fish. I think they were hiding from me, and so that's why I couldn't see them in the first place. But I felt a little bit bad, but I still shot one and took it home, and it was very delicious. Now, the thing is that without the light, the fish would still have been in that cave. I just wouldn't have seen them. This morning, as we continue our series called Metaphors of the Messiah, we come to the metaphor of light. "I am the light of the world," says Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 12. It goes without saying that Jesus isn't speaking about physical light. It's not as if the disciples were kept awake at night when they were sleeping out in the fields because Jesus was just glowing like this torch shining in their eyes. Although, interestingly, we need to remember that the book of Revelation, as well as Isaiah chapter 60, tell us that there will be no sun in heaven because the glory of the Lord will be all the brightness we need. But it's quite clear that in John chapter 8, Jesus is referring to himself as the light of the world in the spiritual sense. And yet, thinking of the value of physical light, something we understand, helps us recognize the value of spiritual light, which we may have a more difficult time understanding otherwise. And that's the beauty of the biblical metaphors, like the ones we're looking at in this series. Like the parables, they help us see and understand deep and hidden truths that we may otherwise have a very difficult time understanding. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then he went on to say, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's all in John chapter 8, verse 12. Now, as we think about this metaphor of Christ as the light of the world, we'll be considering just one main point this morning, and it is this: the light of Christ shows us everything we need to see. And that's why the Old Testament prophet Isaiah eagerly pointed to the day when the Messiah would appear, saying, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone." And that's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. So the light of Christ shows us everything that we need to see. And three examples of things that we need to see that we'll be briefly considering this morning are that the light of Christ shows us the Father, the meaning of grace, and how we should live. So firstly, the light of Christ shows us the Father. Like the fish in that cave, God is real and always has been and always will be, but we don't always see who God is. Sometimes we ignore the fact that there's a God at all. Not because he isn't there, but because we are spiritually blind. Adam and Eve knew God and walked with him in Eden. But humanity became spiritually blinded to God by sin. And so we became those who are stumbling around in the darkness. And yet, in love and mercy, God reached out into our spiritual darkness as he had reached out into the physical darkness when he said, "Let there be light." And so, by grace, he made a visible way for we who were lost and blind to see our way back to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's how John chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 describes it. But think about it. Because of the love of our Father, we've been shown the Son. And because of the light of the Son, we've been shown the Father. And what an incredible circle of grace that is. The question is, have we seen the amazing grace that is set before us? The Pharisees, apparently, according to John chapter 8 and many other passages in the Bible, just couldn't see it. Although they self-righteously saw themselves as the apple of God's eye, in truth, they were spiritually blind to the light of Christ and didn't really know the Father at all. And that's why Jesus said to them in John chapter 8, verse 19, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." What devastating words to hear from Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Well, have we come to know the Father through Jesus Christ? If so, we will have an opportunity to sing a little later at the closing of the service all about this. We can joyfully sing, "Light of the world, you step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see. So here I am to worship. If we haven't yet come to know the Father through Jesus Christ, let's be bold enough to ask God to open the eyes of our hearts. If prayed sincerely, I'm convinced that God will grant this request to anybody who asks. And wonderfully, if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we do know the Father through Him. That's why Jesus spoke to His disciples about just this in John chapter 14. In verse 9, Jesus said to Philip, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Although God the Father and God the Son are both God, Jesus doesn't say, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father," because Jesus is the Father. We know this for many reasons, that that's not the case, including the fact that Jesus prayed to the Father. But Jesus says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father," because the light of Christ shows us the Father. Well, let's move on to our second point. The light of Christ shows us the meaning of grace. Grace means undeserved favor. And the light of Christ and the finished work of the cross shines on grace as brightly as could ever be. In seeing the Father through Jesus, we come to recognize that although we are separated from Him by sin, by grace, we can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10 speaks of these things. And by the way, 1 John is one of the letters that John wrote to the persecuted church later in his life. And this is the same John who wrote the gospel that we're in this morning. So in verse 5 of 1 John 1, John writes these words. "This is the message we have heard from Jesus and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Do we grasp this? That God is perfect spiritual light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That's why He's referred to as holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And actually, I think we can't grasp this fact in its entirety, but have we done our best to comprehend what it means that God is perfect spiritual light? Now, in contrast to God, who is holy, 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 and in whom there is no darkness at all, darkness has plagued the human heart ever since the fall. And yet, even though we were born into a dark world, and even if we are already saved, there are still dark corners of our hearts as we continue to wrestle with sin in this life. But still, His grace is sufficient. And that's the gospel. That's the good news that is proclaimed to us through the finished work of the cross. All we need to do is turn to Jesus and ask Him to save us. And that is amazing grace. So in the letter that we read, just a few verses later, in verse 8 and 9, we read these words: "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And then returning to John's gospel, John 1 verse 5 reminds us of the great hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. And it is this: "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So the light of Christ shows us the meaning of grace, of the undeserved favor of the one who is perfect light and who reached out to restore those who have walked in darkness. As we turn to our final point this morning, that the light of Christ shows us how to live, I want to draw attention to one of the most significant verses in Scripture. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Ultimately, Jesus Christ is the true way to eternal life with the Father. But even in this life, the light of Christ shows us the true way to live and to live a life in all its fullness. We're called to live according to His light, and it's part of our created design to do so. It's not just for the special, ultra-holy people to live according to the light of Christ. It's part of our very design. If we're not living according to the light of Christ, we're missing out. We're not being who we're supposed to be as humans, all of us. It's not just those who are perceived as more righteous than others. We're all called to live according to the light of Christ. And yet many reject the light of Christ and choose to live in darkness. And we who are saved might think it's a bizarre thing to do. And yet even as those who are saved, sometimes we choose to gravitate toward the darkness rather than toward the light. And so we need to live in a humble way before the foot of the cross. But John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21, we read verses 16 and 17 a little earlier. Now, just a few verses later, this is verses 19 and 21 in John chapter 3. It says this, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." The light of Christ shows us how to live. And my prayer is that we are counted among those who love the light and who do not love the darkness. Loving the light means that sometimes our sin is painfully exposed by the light. But how wonderful it is to be on the process of sanctification, where God is working in our hearts and our lives, exposing sin and then dealing with it at the cross. Well, that's the encouragement in verse 21, that we do live according to the light. "But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." And what a testimony it is when people look to our lives and they glorify God because of the way that we conduct ourselves. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," and then went on to say, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." As we draw to a close, if you're here this morning and you have not yet decided to follow Jesus, I encourage you with all of my heart to do so, to step out of the darkness into His marvelous light. There's nothing that you could better do than just that. If you already count yourself as a follower of Christ, the one who is the light of the world calls us to be the same, not in our own strength, but in His strength. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So the question is this: are we shining the light of Christ in this dark world? Are others beginning to see who Jesus truly is because of the light that we're shining? Jesus, in all His truth and glory, is there, and we need to shine the light on the truth so that people can see and turn to Jesus Christ. And on this note, I would remind you all about the invitational series toward the end of the year. My challenge to everyone in this church has been to choose at least one person who you know isn't attending church or who isn't following the Lord, and to be praying for them. And then when we get to the invitational series, or before, if you feel the Lord leading you to do so, invite that person to church so that they can come and hear the good news that Jesus saves. No one wants to be stumbling around in the darkness, although of course we've read that some seem to love the darkness, but how much better it is to walk in the light. Let's be praying that we can help those who are in darkness to see and walk and love the light. So in closing, let's live as those who are living in the light ourselves, and let's shine the light in such a way that it points to the one who is the light of the world for his glory. Amen.